Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome, hi, and welcome to this talk about my experience as a former Baha'i and why I feel that the Baha'i faith is considered as a, should be considered as a false religion. Okay, first thing that I'd like to cover is why the Baha'i faith is considered as a false religion. Well, basically, it does not have any proof to its claim as religion from God. It does not have any proof like what we have in Islam. That's the whole argument that why the Baha'i faith is false. You see, in Islam we have proofs from the Quran that talks about scientific facts that were not known during the time of the Prophet, but it's very well established now that there are scientific proofs in the Quran. So there is no way that a man in the desert could know things that are factually established today, scientifically factually established today. Then it must be from this Quran, must be from God. Many scientists have reverted to this religion of Islam after finding out the truth in the Quran about all the scientific miracles. So not just that, the Quran is also the highest in rhetoric, the highest in eloquence in the Arabic language. So even those who are not Muslim will admit that the Quran is the highest in eloquence. So these are the proofs to show that the Quran is from Allah. But in the Baha'i faith, we do not have this sort of proofs. All they have is the Persian and Arabic text translated into Queen's English, and that's supposed to mean that it's the flowery language of the Queen's English is supposed to just, you know, prove that it's from God. I mean, any philosopher can write in flowery language. It doesn't mean it's from God, you know. It has to have solid evidence. So that's one of the reasons why I say it's a false religion. I will talk more on this topic in another lecture later on, to cover each and every nook and cranny until we can expose and prove that the Baha'i faith is a false religion. Okay, the next topic which I'd like to cover is about myself and my experience as a former Baha'i, and how I you know, lived through my Baha'ihood before I came to Islam, and all the things that I noticed, all the things that I learned. So basically, I was born as a Baha'i. My parents were Baha'i, so they call it born Baha'i. So for 25 years of my life, I was a Baha'i, and during that 25 years, I served in the local spiritual assembly of the Baha'i faith. Local spiritual assembly means, you know, in every location where there are Baha'is, if you have more than 9 members of this Baha'i faith, then you have to select 9 to be the local spiritual assembly. They are basically the people, the committee that takes care of that community. So I was part of the LSA, the local spiritual assembly, and you know, we were in charge of many teaching campaigns. In the 90s, before I became a LSA member, in the 90s, I was very active in the teaching campaign called the 1000 Project, whereby we're supposed to get 1000 converts to the Baha'i faith. Well, we achieved that 1000 project, but it was really a 1000 projects, a project of 1000 signing up cards. It's not a conversion of hearts. So basically, we see people, we tell them about the Baha'i faith, and they will not understand, and they will not see why they have to become Baha'is. So we'll just tell them, okay, if you love unity, if you love peace, just sign this card, and most of them just sign the card, just to get us off their backs. Once they sign the card, you know, they are feeling in their hearts, oh, good riddance to bad rubbish, you know, these people are really bugging me. So we reached 1000 project, we reached 1000 people signing the cards. Basically, it's like almost like a duping. We duped them into signing the cards. They don't even know what they're signing. Most of them can't even read English. So that was the situation. Then then we went on to sign on another 1,000. So our community had 2,000. Hooray. And so this was really if let's say Baha'is tell you they got like 6 million people, you can be sure that it's not really 6 million, because our community by right has 2,000 plus, and there's only actually less than 50 people who are really Baha'is. So you can know that the numbers are really inflated, you know. Then I was also involved in Army of Light. Army of Light is when the youths, you know, get together and then they group up into certain groups, and then they will go to certain areas and they will open up the area, teach the people there, pioneer, teach the people there about the religion, get people to, you know, come to the. They got something called the 19-day feast. Every 19 days, they will have a feast. But it's not really a feast. You can just, you know, whether there's food or not, 19 days they have to congregate. Something like the Friday prayers that Muslims have. But they have made it like, they have moved the date, so it's every 19 days instead of every 7 days. So I was involved in Army of Light and teaching campaigns, and you know, in charge of most of the time in charge of the games. I was also you know, when the electoral process was going on to pick who are the 9 people who will be in the LSA, I was also the one of those who was counting the ballots and all that. So very involved. I was really involved in the Baha'i faith until the point where I started to learn things outside of the Baha'i faith. Like you know, I started to actually learn about Islam from the real authentic books. Then I realized that there was a lot of things that the Baha'is told about Islam which was not really true. For example, they said that I was taught that Muhammad is the return of Jesus, like some sort of reincarnation or the return of Jesus, you know. But when I studied Islam, in Islam there's no such thing as reincarnation or the return of somebody or something, you know. So that itself was not one false thing that they taught. And then the other thing they taught was that Muhammad was just the prophet for the Arabs, so that's why the Baha'is needed Baha'u'llah to come as a prophet for the whole world, you know. That also was another lie, because Allah says, you know, that He sent the Prophet Rahmatilil Alameen, that He sent the Prophet as a rahmat, as a mercy to all of mankind, all of the, you know, all of the worlds. So that means that the Baha'is were telling another lie there, you know. And then I started to read up about what they call as covenant breakers. Because for me, since you want world unity so much, you must be able to unite with the covenant breakers. If you cannot unite with the covenant breakers, then this world unity thing is not really true. It cannot be achieved. Just imagine, you tell the whole world to, you know, you have to unite, but the Baha'is and the covenant breakers, they can't be united. So that's just, you know, something ironic there. And then it's something that you cannot as a Baha'i, it's funny, you know. And if you went for teaching and somebody just said that to you, you cannot answer anymore. And then you know, like women cannot serve on the Universal House of Justice, but the Baha'is speak about justice, you know, equality between men and women, you know, this and that. They are fighting for equality and all that, but at the end of the day, women cannot serve on the Universal House of Justice, you know, for some reason. Yeah, you know, it's so ironic. The equality is so ironic. How the Baha'is preach to people about equality, but they don't practice that? So it's so funny. At a certain point, the contradiction is just overwhelming. I cannot, you know, go out and convert people to this religion anymore, because it's so ironic and so peculiar, so contradictory. So when I was a youth, I was involved in Ruhi books and all that, Ruhi books. So, you know, we used to get non-Baha'is in to for the Ruhi books so that they can learn up the what Baha'ism is all about. But, you know, you feel shy to actually call people, you know, your learned friends, your educated friends, you feel shy to call them to learn this Ruhi book. Because Ruhi book was something that was developed in South America to teach the children about grammar, but at the same time propagate the religion. So you're going to take these books, and it's more like a comprehension, standard 3 comprehension book in Malaysia. It's so, I just feel ashamed that, you know, I actually call people to come and they actually, you know, it's shameful, if I think about it.